Our Father, we pray again that you'd help us understand this precious book. Lord, everything we know about thee will come from this book. And we have to take it in context. We're going to have to be able to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, even the ability to have the intellect to read and study and analyze things, that don't help us any unless the Spirit of God's leading us. Now, I'm glad we got that capacity. We can read. Lord, we can take this book and read all the way through, but it won't mean a thing to us because in this book, not only words that we see history and sometimes can and follow it through, but the Holy Spirit wrote this, and in this book's the mysteries of God and His kingdom, what He's doing in that which He created and how He's going to end it up. And that's what we want to understand. We want to understand those mysteries that have been hid, many of them through the ages, and now you're revealing more so than ever in our day in grace, and especially in the last days. And we recognize our inability to understand it without your help. I pray for that help. As studying, I pray for the anointing to teach it. And I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and give our Heavenly Father the due that is needed. And to do that, I believe that would give the Holy Spirit that in turn to do that He needs and desires to serve, to give us that information that's needed to serve the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we went through the end of 2 Timothy, but I want to go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 128, and I think this would be a kind of a kicking off point. And before I read this, I hope you see something. God is letting me see something now that's precious that I didn't see as much years ago as I see now. And that is, you know, you talk about 2 Thessalonians, what it talks about the falling away. We talk about the last days. But one of the things that we're missing, and that's the reason I believe the Lord led us on this trail, starting back in Genesis and coming through, looking at the two systems, the satanic system, which is a mystery leading up to the mystery harlot in Revelation 17. And God's system started in Genesis chapter 12, which we know of, with a nation, which in turn would go parallel when presenting God to Christ should come. Now the church is the one who's made up of Jew and Gentile alike. That's in this world with the anti-God system, religious, modernistic type system, humanistic type system, which in turn is more influenced by Satan than anything else, running side by side. And what we're actually seeing, that we're living in the age of confusion, and that's more so now than ever, because where God confused the tongues in Revelation chapter 11, that confusion of languages is so they could not communicate with each other. And it's setting forth there is a vast confusion of religious information in this day. There's a confusion between the true church and the harlot church. Let's put it that way. And God puts it that way in Revelation because the harlot church speaks the talk but don't walk the walk. The harlot church will give all the information about what the Bible has to say. They can read intellectually, but they don't see the spiritual side behind it. So what happens, we have this debate going on in the world today about who's right and who's not right. Give an example. Have you ever seen such money-making movies coming out now about the Bible? And you know why they're making them? They want us to have the theology. No, they want to make money. And what's happening, all of this is bringing more confusion to our age about thus saith the Lord. Because you look, when you begin to look at films being made, they can't have the mass attendance unless they stop at a level to bring God down or not mention at all that will reach all the religious systems so they can identify whoever who their God is. I'm amazed that we talk about this one about just going through about Christ, and there's a lot of things there that's so close of being biblical and in the Bible, but the emphasis of who Jesus Christ really is and what He can do has been held back a little bit. Now they're talking about Moses in that. It's close to the Scripture and don't have a whole lot with Moses. I guess it'd be off, but now look at just Noah. Let me ask you a question. What you know about the Bible, can you make a film about Noah and the flood and leave God's name out of it? But that's what they did. Did you hear that? His name is not mentioned. What they use is creator. They use the word creator. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I don't guess there's anybody religious that's not an atheist, don't believe they had a creator to some degree. Now, they may believe they had a creator in religiously and believe there's a big bang in science, because they'll be confused anyhow. But what I'm saying, I don't know. See, the word creator don't offend anybody if you believe in a creation, though you have many gods believing in them. And what it does, it draws everybody together. So it's a money-making thing. And I know good and well, I get hear these things, but I believe we live in an age today. There's got to be somewhere or another we understand this Bible is accurate. Don't rewrite it just because and make it so close to being sound right that God can't sanction it. Because if you leave God out and you leave Christ out in the maximum who he is, God won't sanction anything, though man may flood to it. And so we have to understand that. Now, that's what I'm seeing when I'm studying here. And as you get through this next few years, you're going to see more as we tie in Revelation 17 about the harlot church and what it's doing and how it's affecting us in our particular age, because there is a confusion. Brother Money and I this week just had a student that we were talking about a thesis that was written. And all of a sudden, there's some things that said in that particular thesis. And we found out that we know what Clarksville believes. But we found out that when we got to studying, got running risks and studies on it, found out there's a lot of, on this particular subject, a lot of confusion because some great men who we'd consider good Bible men don't agree on it. Isn't that right, Brother Money? And it's amazing. And here we're saying, if we weren't where we were at, we'd be confused as a goose in a snowstorm, as they say. Why? Because there is times that you do have some things that are not what you might say. How can I say the word? May not be necessarily to know exactly right, but there are some things you have to know right. You got to know who Jesus is. You got to be born again. But there are some things that may be a little bit different that has no bearing on where a person go to heaven or not go to heaven. It's just a matter of hipsum knowledge. And so that's where you have to deal with that. And so that's an example of what I'm seeing here and what you're going to be seeing in the next few weeks as we look at this subject. Now look with me in Romans chapter 1 again, verse 20. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now here we're seeing that there came a time that people got so wicked and abominable in God's sight, they would not, you know, retain God in their knowledge. They said, absolutely not. They believe in anything other than the true and living God. They accepted him. And because of that, watch, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What does that do? To do those things which are not convenient. To do those things which in turn that God says is perversion, and he won't sanction it, but they say he will. They come out and say they will. This chapter here, those people who are in this fault, they rewrite it to say something to please where they're at. Now, if they can't get people to believe the scriptures, here's what they do. When God says something that's wrong, fallen man makes his own law to make it legal. And if fallen man can make a law about something that God says is wrong, and they say, but wait a minute, we voted to be right, and we're going to do it because our law overrides God's law, then now it's okay for them to do it, and the Christians who obey God are considered to be dangerous in the end because we're against the law. Now, we can be immediately locked up or harassed if we break a law that's made, even though God said his law goes against our law. And that's where we're living at today. We're living right there now just as sure as you and I are alive. And you're going to see it get worse. This falling away is a falling away. And you've got churches. You don't have to worry about the world falling away. It's never had anything to start with. The world can't fall away from the scriptures. Scriptures, they never believe the scriptures to start with. What is the falling away? They need to learn what the scriptures are and who they are and who wrote the scriptures. We, though, those who say they believe are the ones have a falling away. I mean, the world, God said, to get worse and worse and worse and worse. They don't have nothing to fall away from. And yet, this world thinks that just because a person's on a religious trip, they're all right. So as I go through this, I hope God will give us some great understanding of this. Now, you go back to Ezekiel 16 again. You remember what God said was the ingredients that led up to the time of what we saw happen in Genesis chapter 19 in Sodom and Gomorrah. That is, the people had idleness, fullness of bread, pride, and God brought a curse, and the judgment of God was sent upon them. And what was it? It was confusion. Now, confusion was the sense that these people in this atmosphere got to the place that things that God says abominable, they said, no, it's okay. It's all right for us because we know who we are and we know what's right and what's wrong. And any time a person has that and has no basis other than we know, then the flesh will always be successful because the flesh is always trying to get us to go against, because it's in a fallen state, anything that God says as far as our life is concerned. So in their confusion, they embraced vile affections, and God said he gave them over to a reprobate mind. And again, the reprobate mind is just a mind void of sound judgment. It's a mind, as you see, we looked at in 2 Corinthians 13, down by verse 6, that where he talked about being a reprobate, and that simply meant that they sanctioned something. They had perversions that God himself would not sanction. And yet they said he would, and therefore they said, you think we'd do this? God, we didn't think God sanctioned it? It didn't matter where they think, it's a matter of what God says. And so that's where we're at today. Today, don't matter what God says, it doesn't matter what most people think. But if you're saved, and you'll be saved by this book, and you believe this book, you're going to find, if you know something God has said, it doesn't matter what God says. What did the apostles tell those people in Acts? Down about the Pharisees and Sadducees, Sanhedrin court? It's better to obey man than God. Better to obey God than man. See, I'm already confused, amen. Better to obey God than man. And they were threatened them at that particular time. So the mystery of Babylon, the confusion of what is right and wrong, and that confusion was the language to show confusion started in language so they could not converse to each other. And now you move it to it. God shows us everything in a world that we're tied to so we can put it together. And you heard me talking about connecting the dots. I can understand the confusion of the tongues, and that should help me understand the confusion on a higher level when it comes to spiritual things. And there is a great, massive confusion of spiritual things today in this world. In fact, there's more confusion now than there's ever been. One of the reasons that there's more written about everything, people are finding something other than the Bible to read, and they follow that more than they find the Bible. And what the best thing in the world to do there is this: a background of people, whatever it is, they find themselves finding something to follow through with that fits where they're at, and they feel like, well, these people feel this way, and therefore I feel this way, it must be all right. It should be all right only if you see that something that God tells you through his word, and you won't get it automatically. There's more reading things about the scripture today that someone has tried to write about than there is reading the scriptures themselves to study them. And when you have that, you have confusion, because you will run across what we run across here. You have good men. There's a lot more than that. There's a lot of people writing today. Just about everywhere you go, anybody on television will be a woman or a man, going in the different directions about a lot of things. But when it comes to we see that years ago it was there, but it was not as broad as it is now, because you had good men who had good intentions, studied the scripture, didn't have a lot of other writings to look at. But now we have so many writings to look at, it's very easy to be confused. And so that's one of the characteristics that's leading to the harlot church you see in Revelation chapter 7. I'm glad, thank God, I'm not going to be here when that takes place. I'm confused enough now. I don't want to get confused no more. So here, I'm looking at this dominates the earth. Say, this atmosphere of confusion is dominate the world today. You know why is it when you go when you work and talk about the Lord, they don't want to talk about some things? You know why? You go talk to someone about the Lord and try to talk to them about anything, you'll find you'll have a different opinion. I guarantee, I don't care who you talk to, you'll have a different opinion, at least in some form or fashion, and probably if they're not saved, about Jesus Christ, who he is, because we're living in that last day period. Now, the thing that the word mystery we saw back is taken from a Greek word in Revelation chapter 17. It's taken from a Greek word called mysteron, which means to shut the mouth, or a secret or a mystery thought, a mystery through the idea of silence or imposing by initiation into a religious rite. You know, I'm not going to belong to anything that's secret. I'm not going to belong to any club that's secret and don't want anything. There's something to be hid if something's secret about joining something. Got to be. I'm glad the church is not secret. It's not secret at all. When we go to the place that the church gets secret, then it's not what God wants it to be. God wants his church to manifest. We're ambassadors. We're to be out there in the front runners telling people about the story of God and what he's done through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so people are not allowed to bring forth the truth in our day. They suppress the truth, And then they do what we see here that he talks about. They did not like to retain the God in their knowledge. They suppress the truth. And then what they do is add something else that sounds truth and so close to truth that an average person who don't study the scripture will never see it. You say, well, that makes some people just think you're a thought. No, it makes you know that they study. You can study this book the day you die and you'll never become authority on it. I won't either. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, it's divine. I mean, it is. This is about God and something we'll never get in these physical bodies. Every time I open this book, I'm handicapped because I am in a body of flesh that's prone to intellectually. I've got to realize I can read this book intellectually, and I can find a lot of things in it, but I can read it from Genesis to Revelation with the intellect of mind God's given me and miss everything that God is saying because the Holy Spirit has to be involved for us to understand it. And I'm glad I learned that years ago, because without the Holy Spirit, there is no enlightenment on that. And I'm studying right now on this thing of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Jesus that the Holy Spirit is revealing. And by the way, he is revealing the right Jesus. He is revealing the right Jesus. You say, what do you mean by that? Because there is a product that's come from Jesus that's not the Jesus of this Bible. Not the Jesus of this Bible. You say, well, that's always been. Yeah, but in the past, our forefathers in Scripture have been able to keep things down. But now they're bringing them out everywhere, publishing more than the books of truth. And by doing so, it's spreading the confusion more. Because a lot of folks now think that Jesus is nothing just a historical fellow. To be the Son of God, what do you mean the Son of God? There's a lot of things that's been destroyed. And by the way, if you destroy who he is, you destroy Christianity. That is in the eyes of men. You can't before God, but in the eyes of men. And so, who knows? Maybe God has raised it up for this time. But anyhow, people do not allow it to bring the truth being forth. The truth is suppressed, and the Bible is taken out. Now, what happened? We have, in my lifetime, I've seen an amazing thing. I'm amazed that when I was in the grammar grades of school, we had teachers that read the Bible every morning. The King James Bible. In the 1960s, it took it out of the school. Ever since then, we've been removing the Bible. The only authority we have of God's Word, we've been removing it or rewriting it, selling it for money, and telling people they don't understand it better because it's been rewritten. And so the Bible is taken out of the schools, and humanism has been put back in and been taught instead, and they don't call that religion. But it's another thing in the world, but religion is forming people's mind to be more against God than for God. And so it's kind of like an anti, which the Scripture calls anti-Christ. So we see that taking place. Now, only a few years back, the Word of God was the final authority. As a matter of fact, I believe I can say up to my teenage years, the Word of God is the final authority in our government. I know it was the Word of God, the authority in the schools until the 60s came along, and different ones helped get it out of the school. I also know that it was, in the years I came along in studying history, the final authority for our Constitution. It's not today, though. Not in the heart of most people. I think it is in God's people, but not in the heart of most people. And so, I remember when it was the supreme authority of the Supreme Court. And it was the supreme authority in our schools. But it's not now. So the mystery is the shutting off of the mouth of truth by suppressing it. And the mystery of Babylon is in control today. We're not just waiting until we get to get into the tribulation period. The mystery of Babylon is in control right now to most people's life on this planet Earth. And the confusion that's set up on the many religious activities that's going on the planet Earth. And you know, and I know, there's much more religious organizations, there's a variety of them in this world than there is of Christianity. And so I'm seeing it. Now let me ask you a question. Why is it then that people with such degrees today of education, why is it those who have gone to school and they have really become intellectual geniuses to some degree, and yet these degrees of education, they cannot see to understand that there is a true living God? You know that, folks? Are you not hearing that? Are you not seeing that? There is I'm not talking about a God, a true and living God. The one who is the creator, not someone's mind made up to be a creator. what I'm saying to you, that this is amazing. Now, why is it then that not only that we have that those who are in the education field talk about who the true and living God is, but there is also, how can anyone with any type of education, with what we have today, look at natural birth and not understand at conception, ladies and gentlemen, that is a human being. And yet, they don't call it that. They give a scientific name called a fetus, making it sound like nothing more than a bunch of tissues. And yet, we know Scripture gives us understanding that at conception, that is life itself. Everything in the child that's going to be born is in that conception. His DNA, everything about him, about her. So we're seeing there is a mass movement, moving away from the very beginning because of our intellectual age. And By the way, I'm convinced that's exactly the way Satan goes. You know, the Bible warns us, Paul, I think the church at Corinth said that we're to beware of Satan because he can change himself as a minister of light. Now, Peter says like a roaring lion, but that's one way. But another way, he can change it. And he said, if he can do that, then do you not know that he can, just in some way to paraphrase, that he can change his ministers as ministers of light? So that's telling me, hey, in the latter days, he'll use all things, but there comes a time that he will take the smartness and intellectualism and mentalities of people that they say, I'm reading that book good as you can. But they miss out. I'm proof over and over. In fact, I will prove that in the message before long. I'm working on now. Prove over and over again that the Bible teaches us God gives us His Holy Spirit when we get saved. That makes us have an edge that the world cannot see. They may not believe us, but we got an edge because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit through the years of 54 years and made me sure I know who Jesus Christ is. You say, well, preacher, that's just fact. No, sir. It's a study of this book. I know who he is. There's no way in this world that anyone can change my mind about who Jesus Christ is. Now, listen, I couldn't teach myself that. If I'd teach myself that, I'd been saying, hey, you know, if he don't have no authority on me, why am I worried about anything? There's something about the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our heart that makes us understand that some things are essential. And you've got to have them if you're going to be up with God. You got to have, he's going to be born again. If Jesus didn't say that we must be born again, and if he did say it and didn't mean himself, then boy, we're all hopeless. He said he must be born again. If he wasn't talking, we'd talk to Nicodemus about how it would be, and it's in him, and the scripture shows that, then ladies and gentlemen, what are we doing here? Because if he's not the Savior, I don't know who he is. I know this, we are not. I know we are not. I know this is not anybody else who lived in man's history for 6,000 years it can be. Who are we going to turn to? What are these people going to do? They're going to come up right at the end like God says, and he's going to say, hey, if that's what you want. He turns them over to a reprobate mind. They believe that which God won't sanction, and he says, that's what you want. That's what you have. And what he's showing them in the end, and showing that what he has said about things that abomination in his sight, and the things that he said that he's going to judge in his sight, he said, it's obvious to me. It's obvious to me that if this thing keeps going, there's going to be a generation after a while that's going to be a lot worse than off we are. It's going to be hard. Somebody's going to go in the ground for long. Because everything in government, everything in society is suppressing the truth. And yet what you hear and they say is the truth. And you can't have truth meaning more than one way. And when you have that which in turn they say is not that is not truth, it's error will suppress truth if people receive error as truth. And so we go on and we see that these people are talking about a child in conception because of a fetus, and it's just a tissue to keep the truth from being known. Revelation 17:5 tells us that's the mystery harlot. The fact is that this church that professes to be who it is and not use the same language. Oh, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, I believe. Years ago, they went. You could used to ask people, well, we came to this town 46 years ago. Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Very few would say they did. Everybody says they do now. Try it. You could hear years ago going to soul winning conference all across this nation. And that's one of the phrases. You just ask them, do you know you die today? You go to heaven. And you could ask that, and very few would say, well, I don't think you know, I don't know, or whatever, but I don't think it really matters. Today, ask them, they learned the language and they got the answer. And they know this. Satan knows if they can give, if you ask the question, then they give you the answer of what you want, what you are asked, see if you can find, you get that answer, you don't have nowhere else to go except try to maybe quote some scripture to them and hope the Holy Spirit can change their mind about that. So they talk about the fetus, and this is the mystery of Babylon. It's a secret through silent imposed by initiation, like I said, in the religious rites. Now, where does this go to? Therein, in this mystery, lies the mystery of Babylon, which is the mystery of confusion in that they are being made silent. The Apostle Paul refers to this mystery. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians just a minute. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul made this statement down in verse 7 and verse 10. Watch what he said. What time I got here? Oh, good gracious. I've not been teaching 30 minutes, have I? Good gracious. Oh, boy. 7, he said, For the mystery of iniquity doth already a work. Only he who hath led it will lead until he be taken out of the way. And we believe that this mystery of iniquity is lawlessness. And talking to he that led is the word he that hindereth. And we know the Holy Spirit is the only one who can do that. But then notice down in verse 10, he says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. In other words, those that are perishing, everything they got is ungodly and deception. That's confusion. Watch. And he said, because, and he gives us the reason why. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The very reason that they have the truth or hear the truth, but they have gone to the point that they're so deceived and so prone to go the way they're doing, they will not accept the love of the truth. And by the way, that's the reason the love of God gives that truth out of love. That's what it's referring to. Watch. And God says, and for this cause, the reason why these who were deceived refused to listen to the truth and suppress the truth every way they could, he said, for this cause God shall send them strong illusion that they should believe a lie. Why? That they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, why would God, a sovereign God, give such a demand as that or such a strict thing as that? I believe God is trying to get people's attention. He means business about this thing. And you need to take inventory and be sure that you're not a reprobate. We're told to do that. We're not to be a reprobate. God is simply saying, this thing is enough for you to listen. If you don't listen, I want you to know, you will find yourself, mind so seared that you won't believe nothing but a lie. And because you won't believe nothing but a lie, I'm just letting you believe a lie. And that you might be damned. Now, the thing is this. I can understand why God is saying that when people have over and over a chance to trust the Lord and they balk him and cuss him and cuss his people, and he says he's God's people. Not, this world is not even worthy of God's people to live here the way they're treated sometimes. So I can understand that because God is saying, according to Philippians, the day's going to come. You go ahead and believe that, and you believe the lie, and you can do it, and I'll just send you strong delusion and let you go ahead and do it. All he's got to do is just let them believe it, because if they don't have... Proper strong delusions would be, and I can't, this is in his thinking. Proper strong delusion would be that he just don't give them the truth anymore. You've had it, turn it down. So you just believe a lie, go ahead and do that. And he said, but the day's going to come, you will bow and you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God. He says that. He said, you do it now, do it then. But I want to tell you, if you don't, that's what you want. Go ahead and believe the lie. And isn't it an amazing thing? You raise it up. I don't see how, I'll be honest with you, I've taught this, I don't see how in this world that Sodom and Gomorrah got as bad as they did, and such a thing they got ungodliness in. Do you really see that? You heard me say just a few weeks ago, when I was a boy after I got saved, a young teenager, I got saved, young adult, in those days, back in the late 50s and early 60s, I could not believe that this world would be like it is today with the same thing that was located in one place in Sodom and Gomorrah today. And yet we're there. In fact, laws are going to be made. If you preach what the Bible says, the law of man will override the law of God. And you will be harassed and punished by it sometime in the future. It's coming. Unless the Lord takes us out before it gets to that particular place. And so the Apostle Paul is talking about the mystery of iniquity. That's another thing. What is a mystery? A mystery is generally something that has never been revealed, and yet has been revealed. See, most time you don't know there's a mystery until the time comes to reveal it. And he said, I'm revealing the mystery that you didn't know was a mystery, but it was. And the scripture talks about this. I know that Jesus talking Matthew 13, he said in verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. He's talking about the religious group in that day. And he's talking about, he said, for whosoever hath to him shall be given. Verse 13, he said, therefore I speak to them in parables. He says there's a mystery here. And he says not for them to understand, because they don't have what these apostles and others had who believed. They're mainly apostles here. And he's saying to them that I speak to you in parables. Why? Because I speak to you in parables, because they see and see not. They hear and hear not. But you see and see. Why? I'm here to teach you. You see, and the Holy Spirit reveals. Now, somebody will say, well, what do you mean, see? You see, he's taking a physical situation, and he's raising it up to a spiritual level. He's talking about, therefore, I speak unto them in parables. I'm speaking in parables of earthly things that goes on that they can associate with, but that's as far as they get. You're talking about plowing a field? They know the plow to field, ox, whatever they use, but that's as far as they get. They can't rise it to a higher plane. How's the Holy Spirit help us? He talks about a vineyard and how it works and so forth, and it's something they see. They work with vineyards all their life. But he used that in something about a parable of a vineyard and the vineyard keeper and so forth, and they would see it and hear it and not know what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about, what he was saying. You see and you see not, you hear not. But he said, you got an advantage because you can raise that physical situation that's a parable story-like and raise it up to a higher level and see something in the spiritual world that they'll never see. Why? They don't have the Holy Spirit of God. That's what helps us understand this book. When he shows those parables, go through and look at the parables he talks about. And here's the thing about it. Now, I got to say this. Everything leads to something else. You can't take a parable and teach a major doctrine out of it. Because I can tell this bottle of water right here and use it as a parable for one thing. And Brother Ken might take it and use it as a parable for something else. All you're doing is taking an example and trying to teach the truth so you can see it. But you can use the parable a lot of different ways. Because it has a physical situation to teach a spiritual truth. So you cannot teach doctrine per se with the parable, but you can understand what the doctrine is as it's used. Now, we live in an age today confusion comes because some people take parables and they try to teach a major doctrine on it. And that doctrine they teach may completely dispute anything that God has said that's a carnal doctrine. And so we have to be careful. He said, but you have, all they could see is one thing. Right, I'm working on that too, because there's a difference in explaining. What they do a lot of times is teach a half-truth. And that's what education does when it comes to spiritual things. You may read something and it teach a half-truth. But a half-truth is not truth all the way. There's another side of it. And what the Holy Spirit does for you and I, thank you, Lord. What the Holy Spirit does for you and I, ladies and gentlemen, is that we study something that we can see in one side, and suddenly the Holy Spirit will help us raise that up to see the other side. I'm going to get into that. That's coming to the message for them. Father, thank you for your word. I pray tonight you bless what's said. And the Lord help us understand this book. We don't have many days left to do what we need to do. And the Holy Spirit desires to teach us if we spend the time. Lord, I don't believe he'll teach anybody lazy. It doesn't come automatically. When I got saved, Lord, if I just laid back and said, Lord, I think I'm saved now, just let the water, the fountain of God flow from heaven right to me and never open this book, I'd be a babe in Christ playing in the playpen right on. But Lord, and again, I know that times that people think you get to a point you burden their heart so much about things, you try to tie it together so we can really see it, understand it, the way that God can give us grace and help us be strong in these last days to support the doctrine of this book. And then, Lord, somebody comes back and says, well, they think you know everything. Lord, you know my heart. I don't know anything, but I thank you what I do know. And it's solid. And I pray anything that I would somehow not miss it. Lord, please guide me to understand it. And so we can set it straight. It's not, I don't get anything out to teach anything that I know is wrong, but I do try my best to stay with you in what that is right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.